Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm delighted to be back with you this Tuesday. I apologize for last Tuesday's show, but thank you to my faithful listeners and stuff that tune in every week. I do apologize, but I thank you for supporting. And my co-host is on the line, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes, I'm so excited to be back on the air. Last week we had technical difficulty, and I got texts and emails saying, where are you? I tried to tune in. Well, we're back, and I'm so excited about tonight. I have an incredible woman that has joining in tonight. Her name is Deborah King. She is a motivational speaker and a recovery coach and so much more. Deborah, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I am well. Well, Deborah, you know, one of the things you specialize in is addictions and recovery and helping people put their lives back together. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, I am the daughter of Don King and the late Henrietta King, from whom I gather my strength. And I am a personal survivor of addiction for 14 years now. And I knew that through God and belief in myself that I could overcome any obstacle or aversion that was placed in front of me. So I just simply picked myself up, put one foot in front of the other, and here I stand and sit and talk before you now.
Wow. And I'm telling you, it's so amazing when, you know, you live the life that you lived and, you know, have celebrity parents and trying to find your own way. How difficult was it to do that given who your family, your parents are?
Well, it was difficult because you are under a microscope, so to speak. So I often tell people it was like wearing a mask and living two lives at the same time. And in order for me to break free, I had to take the mask off. It's like ripping the Band-Aid off. It's not going to heal until it gets some air.
You know, people would say that, okay, you have celebrity parents and you have a silver spoon in your mouth. And how did you fall into addiction?
Well, you know, addiction is prevalent in the entertainment and sports industry, sadly enough to say, and it's more a lifestyle. And things back in the 80s were socially acceptable. So, you know, I used to believe the falsity that whatever I paid for didn't rule me. I was greatly mistaken, because you don't see yourself getting caught up in the maze of addiction until you're in it. And at that point, you have to make a decision. You know, you can only accidentally get high one time. After that first time, it's a choice. So just like I chose to use, I chose not to use today.
And, you know, you're educated. tell us about your educational background and how you formulated your organization you have now.
Well, I began going to Catholic elementary school, and my mother moved me to a rural Ohio in Ashtabula County, where I went to regular public school. But come my high school years, I was put into Villa Maria High School, and my fellow classmates and I used to call it the Very Intelligent Lovely Ladies Association. So we groomed ourselves for what we wanted to be next, you know. And I went on to Baldwin Wallace College, where I got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice because I wanted to be a lawyer. But I wanted to be a lawyer and a doctor at the same time, so I figured I would be a medical attorney. Well, things changed from that point of view because I went into the sports business following my father and working for his company. In doing that, you are exposed to different cultures, different personalities, different situations from all over the world. During that time, life took hold of me, and that's where addiction came in. So when I came free of that, you know, I thought about it for a while, and I said, well, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones. I made it through. I have my mental capacity. I'm not in jail, so it's time to give back. So I went back to school and got a master's degree in mental health, specializing in addiction. From there birthed Limitless Life Recovery.
Now, tell us more about Limitless Life Recovery and why you chose that name, Limitless.
Well, I chose Limitless because my slogan or motto is, as long as you have life, you have hope. So with life, you have limitless opportunities. There's no more boundaries or barriers holding you back. You can do whatever you want to do, and I want to help you see that in yourself and take you there. So Limitless Life Recovery is a concierge recovery practice in which I bring recovery to you. So if you can't go to the traditional treatment centers, I bring treatment to you.
How so? How is that done?
Well, if you called me, I would come and assess you to see if there was indeed a need for treatment. Then I would customize a treatment plan for you, and we will begin to work through the difficulties to establish what's underneath the problem, because with every addiction, there is a core problem, be it depression, trauma, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia. Something makes you seek things to numb or forget the pain, so to speak. So in order to free yourself from one, you got to free yourself from both. Otherwise, you're just resting one of the symptoms. You know, we had to find the core problem, and we work together until we create that connection to help you get through whatever adversity you are facing and become stable enough to make it on your own.
Now, can you talk a little bit about bipolar? Because so many people I notice have been diagnosed with bipolar. And could you explain what that is for the listening audience?
Well, bipolar is ultimately when the brain doesn't receive signals at the same time with all your neurons and neurotransmitters firing at the same time. So you become a little imbalanced with your chemical makeup. And in doing so, you have deficiencies. And for me, myself, I was diagnosed with bipolar. My drug of choice was cocaine, which is a stimulant. For me, cocaine made me feel normal. I wasn't depressed. I wasn't anxious. I functioned, went to work, lived life day to day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, bipolar can be one of two ways. You can either have bipolar, which is on the depressive side, or you can have bipolar on a manic side, in which you're super excited. You might go spend all your money. You might go shopping and buy a gazillion pairs of shoes. You just do everything in excess because you're manic. You're on that roller coaster high, so to speak. And you mm-hmm. do things to calm yourself or whatever, and they have medication now to try to give you that balance.
Okay. But does a lot of times, I know individuals that are on medication, and sometimes it makes them loopy or, you know, where they're not functioning normally because they take it. So, therefore, a lot of people don't want to take it when they're on it because of the fact that it makes them loopy, feel abnormal.
So,
do you do coaching? So, do you do coaching for that?
Yes. Well, you know, I was one of those people. At one time, I took a medication cocktail that was absurd when you think about it today. I was on 3,000 milligrams of antipsychotic medication. It's a wonder I could walk and stay awake. So mm-hmm. I worked with the doctor to titrate myself off of those medications and function normally. You know, you can have good days and bad days, but you can be taught the necessary coping skills and techniques that can guide you through day-to-day life where you are not dependent on medication. You know, everybody doesn't have to be on medication for the rest of their life. You have to learn how to adjust and do the necessary maintenance tools to keep yourself focused. You can feel when you're going a little bit off balance, and you need to step back, regroup, focus, breathe, calm yourself down, and continue to press forward. The most important thing I can say for people that are on medication, ask questions. Don't just take mm-hmm. the medication because the doctor said this is what you're supposed to take. If you don't feel normal and feel functional, let them know. We have a voice. You need to use it. Because you can get a medication cocktail that is perfect for you. You should never feel out of sync. But you don't tell them, and they can only go by what you say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I was talking to a friend of mine last week, and she went to the doctor, and they gave her prednisone because she was having headaches. And then they said, okay, she was having headaches, so they gave her something for blood pressure. Then they gave her something for sugar. Well, they gave her these two prescriptions, and then when she went back to her visit, they were like, did you take your prescription? And she was like, I took one, but I didn't take the other. And they ran the test, and everything was okay. And then he was like, he said, good thing you didn't take both of these because you shouldn't be taking these two together. But they wrote the prescription.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, the doctor can write it, but one of your most valuable tools is the pharmacist. And they print you out those directions now, and they ask you, do you have any questions? Don't worry about if there's a line behind you in the pharmacy. Ask your question, because that very question mm-hmm. could save your life. Had those two medications interacted, it could have been fatal for your friend. So, therefore, she has to ask, you know. And most pharmacies will say, do you understand how to take these medications? And they will also say, don't take these together.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
need to
yeah.
be mindful and do the research on your own. Like I said, if
yeah, now we can.
Yeah, Google is your best friend. Google that stuff and see what it is, because a lot of times the side effects is worse than the symptom that you went to the doctor for.
Yeah, that
you
is
know,
absolutely
correct.
You take
that medication correct. And you get more stuff wrong with you than you started off with.
You are absolutely right. Now, Shirley, she has a testimony, too, because she was on the cocaine and stuff. You know, my co-host, Deborah, for those of you that just tuned in, I'm talking to Deborah King. She is a motivational speaker and a recovery coach, and she's also the daughter of Don King. What's your mother's name again, Deborah?
Henrietta.
And Henrietta King, and she is, you know, a phenomenal individual resource for those of you that may be transitioning emotionally, mentally, or even physically going through things. She is a great resource for you, and she is the owner of Limitless Life Recovery. And I was telling you, my co-host, Shirley Carter, she's a cancer survivor. She's dealing with lupus. She is heart. She did with cocaine. She dealt with domestic violence. She's a walking miracle track. That's why I have as my whole co-host, Deborah. So, Shirley, I know you can relate to some of the things that Deborah is communicating to our audience about.
Oh, definitely. And, Deborah, I just want to say thank you for being, you know, our guest tonight, because so many, you know, people are suffering today. And they don't have to. And it's not just the street drugs. And I'm glad you addressed the medication that they take, because we're finding that a lot of people are dealing with opioid addiction, more so than in the 80s. Myself, you know, delivery day, I call it deliverance day, was December the 8th, 1989 from cocaine. And you do have to speak up and ask questions when they give you medication, because if you don't, you could get hooked on some of that stuff, and then you're back on that road again. But I have a question for you. You know, your program that you have, I've never heard of one like it, but I think it's awesome, because with today's society, with so much happening and the lack of access to treatment or knowing how much treatment you need, that you're basically mobile, going out, reaching people. I mean, I look at it beyond a program, but more of a ministry, because you are helping so many people. This is something that I feel that God gave you to do, and only you could do it, and that's why you came up with it. And I love the fact that you said, you know, that you validated yourself and you set your own bar. I love that. And you've given me more inspiration, too, in your testimony and what you've gone through and how you help people and how you encourage people to talk, ask questions. And if you don't want to ask that one person that you, the pharmacist, the doctor, use Google. And I use Google. Google is my best friend, because when it comes to asking questions, because if someone asks me something I don't know, I'm going to Google it. And then I'm going to go through all the different things that they have. One of the questions I have for you is this. When was your turning point in life? What was that one thing?
My mother. Okay. My mother was ill and was going into the hospital for surgery. And they all got together and they said they wanted to do a prayer for her. And she stated she didn't want to pray for herself. She wanted to pray for me.
Wow.
And from that moment on, I knew that my foundation would be it takes a life to save a life. My mother was willing to give me hers. I'm willing to give the world mine.
Wow. That's powerful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, she's my total inspiration. You know, I have her tattooed on my arm so that I can hug her every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's important to me.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Your mother was your turning point, so you have children, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're very important to me. They are my number one fans and supporters.
That's awesome. You know, when we were having a conversation, you were telling me a story about when the tabloids had put on there that you were on drugs and homeless and sleeping. I said, could you share that story? I thought it was so hilarious and what your son said to you.
Yes. Well, you know, I was, I walked in the grocery store or a little bodega and, I saw the National Enquirer, and on the National Enquirer, mind you, this is the edition with Monica Lewinsky. So I see a picture of my dad, and it says, Don King's heartbreak, daughter uses crack. And I was like, oh, heck no, that's me, and started laughing. And I was reading it, and the man from behind the counter said, lady, is that you? And I said, yeah, this is supposed to be me. And he asked me to come behind his counter and sign his wall, because now I was a celebrity. And all I could do was laugh, because I'm like, I'm driving my car to go to my house to sit on my furniture. They said I ain't have no furniture. I was homeless. I had sold all my possessions. And I thought that was the funniest thing, because the children were like, well, Mom, we're sitting in the house on the couch, and you got a lot of clothes and shoes. And it just tickled me how people take something and it can become whatever they want it to be. You know, the media is the first in line to build you up, to tear you down. They always want to report the negative, but they don't want to salute you when you do the positive. You know, we have so many heroes, icons that have fallen, which makes them human beings. So when they do that next right thing, report that too. That's still news. Because as long as you have life, they have hope. It's not about how many times we fall down. It's about how many times you get up. And once you've fallen down, you only have two directions left to go, and that's either up or sideways. Sooner or later, you'll get tired of bumping your head.
You know, I wanted you to share that, because there's so many people that allow somebody's opinion to dictate their reality, and they don't recover from that. And I know you deal with depression. What would you say to individuals that have folded away, tucked away their emotions, their soul, their life stream, because somebody said something and they weren't strong enough to stick up for yourself? Because you're saying, you know, the show tonight is, you know, validate yourself, you know, set your own bar. You could raise it or you could drop it. But what do you say to those that are dealing with that depression and don't know what the next step is?
Well, the first step is to just take that step. You know, people feel a certain kind of way about asking for help. That should be more empowering than anything you can go through. You know, to me, self-validation has five stages. The first one is self-love, because if I don't learn how to love myself, how will I set the bar to know if you love me? So I have to become my own priority. Through self-love, I generate self-esteem. You know, it's not a matter of what you call me. It's what I choose to answer to. I will be a survivor, not a victim. I don't need you to give me my worth. So I create my own worth, which is point number three. I feel any person who settles to just being Mrs. Somebody or Mr. Somebody will be nothing. You're going to be somebody's mother, wife, sister, brother, husband, but I never mentioned a first name in any of those scenarios. You lose yourself, so always remain who you are. It all begins with you, which stands for You own your own understanding. So you are you. You know what I'm saying? And you have to make you stand for something. And it doesn't matter if the next person tells you they're proud of you or they love you or good job, bravo, or pat you on the back. You don't need any of that. You can do that for yourself. And I challenge the listeners and the world to do the mirror test. Every day I wake up, once I thank God, I look in the mirror, hug myself, tell myself I love me, and today I'm going to go out and be the best me I can be. Because that's all I can do. Because change begins from within. Once I become aware of who I am, what I want to do, where I want to go, and how I want to get there, then I acknowledge that through my own self-acknowledgement. And that is allowing my actions to portray my emotions. If I want to be a positive person, I'm going to have a smile on my face. Something that simple is just having common courtesy and saying good morning or hello could be life-changing to that person that might be in that depression, because you gave them enough validation to let them know they mattered. Every life is worth something. You know, we are priceless. Life is such a precious gift. And if we don't begin with the person we see in the mirror, we're not doing our obligatory job to help add to this community, this world, this society, instead of taking it away. You know, so through self-validation, we create positivity. Through positivity, we create self-esteem. Through self-esteem, we create self-worth. Through self-worth, we create self-awareness. Through self-awareness, you create self-acknowledgement, which in turn equals I can, I will, I shall. And then no one can be in your way.
That is powerful. I am speaking to Ms. Deborah King, who's a motivational speaker and recovery coach. If you have any questions or comments for Deborah, you can press 1 and I will put you in queue. Press 1 and I will put you in queue. Deborah, how can individuals find out more about your organization?
Well, they can go to my website, www.limitlesslife.recovery.com. They can reach me on all social media through I Am Deborah King. And they can email me through limitlesslife.recovery@gmail.com. You know, I'm not hard to find. You know, just reach out. Just take that step and say, I need, and will you? And I will say, I'm here. Yes, I can.
Awesome. Caller 2977, you're live.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Valerie. I have a question for Deborah. So my question is, Debbie, with validating yourself, like, what do you feel gave you the most motivation? Because although your mom was your motivation in children, some people don't have that. So what's some suggestions for those that have that inspiration to jump into recovery? And, but, you know, they don't have that inspiration. Excuse me, they don't have the inspiration to jump in recovery, but they really want to. That's my question.
Well, for me, what I did was I drew on my faith. You have to believe in something, you know. So I kept in my mind that God doesn't make any mistakes. And as long as I know he loves me and I love myself, through him I can do all things. So I just have to want it more than anything else in the world. When you get ready to enter into recovery, that has to be the most important decision of your life, because I will not lie to you, it's not easy. And you've been beat up, talked about, degraded, and humiliated by everyone around you. So the normally people continue to beat themselves up. Stop it. Because the minute you say you're ready to get some help, rejoice in that and say, I'm no longer that victim. I'm going to be a survivor. Believe in yourself because you have the ability to do all things. You just got to stay focused and start. Just look in the mirror and say, I'm better than this. I want more than this. I love life, and I'm going to fight for it. And that's your beginning.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, caller, thank you so much for supporting the soul of a woman.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh. Hold on, there's another. Caller 7570, you're live.
Hi, I'm Ray Broussard in Dallas.
Hi, Ray.
And I really think y'all are wonderful. I was so disappointed last week. I kept trying and trying, thinking maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Just so long as you're
okay. You have
okay,
a question for you have a question for Deborah King?
Yes. Well, if somebody don't want help, I guess you can't give it to them. But one of my sons is an alcoholic, and I think he's bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And but my other question is for Shirley. Dr. Shirley?
Yeah.
Could I have your office number? Because I think you helped him.
I will give it off air to you.
Okay.
Dr. Val, have your number? Okay. You're welcome.
Yes. All righty. Thank you so much. So, Deborah, you know, we have so many individuals, as I said, that are dealing with so many different things, and their coping mechanism is at an all-time low. What's some of the first things that they can do? I know you gave some tips already, but you know, there are people listening in that says, I know you said just begin, but begin where? What do they have to start doing? What's the first thing?
Well, the first thing they have to do is just breathe, you know, because
yes, remember
when
to
they
breathe.
Make that decision, they're so overwhelmed that it's like everything is coming at them at once. So they need to just take a second and just breathe. Once they breathe and begin to relax, some clarity will come in, and then they will begin to find the answers that they so desperately need. But until they step back and take a look at themselves, they won't know how to find that focus or direction. So they got to breathe to come in touch with themselves in order to make that decision to ask for help. Because it's scary. It's a scary thing at first, but if you sit back and just examine, look at my life, is this where I want to be? You look at it, you take a deep breath and say, it's time to do something different. And the answer will come to you as easily as picking up a phone and dialing a number. I mean, it's advertisements and commercials on all the time. So it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Call your local hospital. If you can't call a hospital or a church, go to the police station. As odd as that may sound, say, I need help. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let them do their job in a positive
way.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a good question for you, Deborah.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of people are in this space here. How does the family and friend deal with an individual that has an addiction, but that person, of course, doesn't recognize or won't acknowledge the fact that there's an addiction, that there's a problem?
Well, you know, that family has to come together and learn one of the hardest lessons there is, and that's have the ability to say no. And you have to set boundaries, because in loving that addictive person, you trying to help them, but inadvertently you always being their savior will hurt them and can ultimately kill them. So as bad as it may feel to you, sometimes you just have to say no. Say, I love you, I will help you and do all I can for you. But I'll help you if you can recognize you have a problem and that you need some help. I will not help you kill yourself. That you're going to have to do on your own. And you have to set those healthy boundaries. But for any individual who goes into treatment, the family needs to be in treatment too. Because you have to learn how to adjust. You know, as an addict, we lie so much, you know, and say I'm sorry. Your family is as sick of hearing the word I'm sorry as you should be of saying it. So
yeah,
when you first, when, you know, trust is the last thing that a family loses in you. But after 5 seconds of sobriety, it's the first thing an addict wants back. Well, you see, I've been clean for 5 days, you should trust me with the car. Not happening. Because whatever amount of time you put into that addiction, you need to put into your recovery. You know, it took time for you to get to this stage in your life. It's going to get time to recover from it. Your family needs to be educated on signs. Your family needs to be educated on the lies and manipulations that we put them through. The family needs to be educated on triggers and things that can set that person off. The family needs to be educated on excuses. You know, we're some of the most creative people in the world. But we don't want to deal with excuses. That's right. Brilliant. If we could take all that manipulative energy and construct it to doing something good, man, we could solve world hunger. Because the brains are there. And sometimes it's just a slip up from being normal. You know, it's like, in my opinion, how the welfare system should be. You know, the welfare system is supposed to help you till you get on your feet, then you can become a contributing member of society. Treatment is supposed to help you get back on your feet to teach you the necessary tools to make you a viable person back in society. But for somehow, in the welfare system, is one or the other. You can't have a job and get the help on welfare that'll get you over the edge. Some people can't go to treatment to learn the tools it's going to take to help them function and be a viable citizen. You know, so we need to change the parameters and the expectations of some of these situations and systems that we have in place today, because sometimes the very systems that are in place hurt us more than help us because we're exploited by them. And that's what's so sad, because some of these children that I see make treatment like going to school. They have a PhD in treatment, you know, and they go through the treatment system like a revolving door. To me, you're not trying to get treatment. You're just trying to rest. You're going to go to treatment because it'll make mom, dad, husband, wife, brother, sister, children happy. You have to go to treatment for yourself.
Yeah. They say recovery is not for people who need it. It's for people who want it. So they got to want it, because we can push and shove all we want, but unless they're open to the possibilities of living life without an addiction, you know, it's null and void. We can talk till we're blue in the face. But I think it's very important, like you said, is that, you know, family members need to know the signs, need to know the triggers, and need to know how to intervene when they see it coming on and be strong enough to
push a button and make a phone call if it means saving that person's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because a lot of times, you know, it's an emotional situation, and it takes courage to be able to turn in somebody that you love to save their life. It's very hard to do so.
Absolutely. You know, I used to be under the premise that I'm not hurting anybody but myself, but in actuality, you're hurting everybody in your family and everybody that loves you. So my mother made the most profound statement to me. She said, "You don't belong to you. You belong to me." And I did not give you permission to kill yourself. And
wow.
When you think about it, she was right. She said, "I gave you life, and I'm not going to sit here and watch you take it away."
Miss Henrietta was
a
superwoman.
She was that one. She was that one. You know, I am in awe of the success and accomplishments and wisdom of my dad, but I adored my mother. She was the glue that gave us the foundation and values that I just temporarily put on hold for a minute and had to step back outside myself and recognize I was human, you know? And as a human being, we have the right to choose. Well, now I choose life. I had a simple slip of mental retardation there for a minute, but I found a way to address the situation, educate myself, and cure myself, so to speak, even though it's never really cured. It's always there, but you have to respect it. Because if you can't respect it, you can't defeat it.
Mm.
Wow.
Deborah.
Wow.
And Deborah, that point that you just made right there about respecting it, so many people don't understand the dynamics of that, of respect that comes with that. Because, you know, as you say, if you can't respect it, then you can't beat it. Because you have to understand my perspective on it. When I had to understand when I was going through my, you know, addiction and everything, is that I was powerless to it, that I had to learn to respect what it was and gain my strength back to overcome it, that I could
mm-hmm.
not just ignore it. And
well, what was your
when
aha
it came
moment,
to my,
Shirley?
My aha moment was when I became homeless and my children were young. My two youngest children were with me. I lost power in my home. I had to move out of it. And then I had to go and live at Bobby's house for 2 weeks while she was on vacation. And then where would I go from there? So here I was in a roach-infested motel with two children and a husband. And I knew I could not continue.
Oh, what, your husband was on drugs too?
Yes. Yes, we were both on drugs. And I couldn't do it anymore. He vowed to quit with me, and which he did for a year or so, but he went back. But that was the end of the marriage because he chose the drugs over the marriage. But I said, I can't go back, and I didn't look back, and that was December 8, 1989. But my moment was my children looking in their face. We can't go home, Mommy. Why? Why are we here? All the whys, I couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at a treatment facility, Deborah.
Wow.
Full time. Yes.
But you were wearing that mask, you know what I'm
saying?
Oh,
I wore that mask was so well. It was so, I wore it so well that even to this day, some of my family refuse to accept the fact that I was on drugs. And even more so, the fact that I was on drugs when I was using drugs before I met the man that I married and had my last two children by. They think he introduced me to drugs. And I was like, no,
I was already introduced to drugs by a boyfriend prior to him. And he was like, no, no, no. They refused to accept it.
Exactly. And, you know, that's a problem because families want to place the blame on everybody but who it should be placed on.
Yes.
We made a choice.
Yes.
We chose to use drugs. So they have to come out of denial, too. Denial is a two-way
mm-hmm.
street, you
yes,
know.
It is.
And for them not holding us responsible and accountable, we are therefore not dependable. And I can't depend on you to help me because I can't depend on you to believe the truth that's right in front of your face.
Exactly.
You know, now you're going to believe me when you come home and your jewelry or your dishes or your TV or your camera gone. And this then went to the pawn shop or to pay for the motel rent or what have you, because it happens. But what I need all the listeners to understand, addiction is what we do. It is not who we are.
Right.
So do not carry this as a badge of shame. Pick yourself up, recover from it, and wave it as a badge of honor. I survived. There are so many people in the penitentiary or the cemetery that wish they could change places with you every day because you have a life, you have a freedom, and you have the power of choice. Now it's up to you because the world don't owe you nothing but an opportunity.
Right.
It's up to you to use that opportunity for good. And the best thing I ever did was save myself. So I had to love myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best decision I ever made for me was to put me first.
And that's what I tell people. When you become, even in anything that you do, when you become, as I say, selfish and love yourself enough that you can make that decision and you make that move. Because, you know, when we talk about, I want to say this to you, when we talk to our audience, when we talk about our aha moment, when that happened, we have to keep self in there too. Because when we, if you
yes.
do it for everybody else, it won't last.
Mm-hmm.
You got to love yourself first enough to say, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this because of my children, because of my mother. But I'm going to do it mostly because of me. I love me. And if they love me enough that they don't want to see me like this, I love me too. You have to, like, fall in love with yourself.
Absolutely.
And understand you have to do it. Because no one can
do it for you. Correct. And that's what self-esteem is. Loving yourself
right.
enough that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can browbeat you down and all that. If you look at the concept, if you will, of a bully to me lacks self-esteem because they try
yes.
to find a pleasure in the pain of another. That means they don't love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have low self-esteem.
Yes. Well,
so they
said.
Need to look in the mirror and say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with this picture? What am I missing that I need to do for me to make me whole and make me better? Self-validate. Don't care what somebody else thinks or says. Care about what you think about you. You're the only person that matters. You know, if the
Absolutely.
World was like, oh, that's a, she's a great person. But if I don't feel I'm a great person, that means nothing to me. It'll go right out the window.
Right. Validate yourself and set your own bar is the bottom line. But we're almost out of time, but I have one more caller I'm going to take. So sorry for those of you that are holding and want to ask Deborah a question, but I will take one more caller, 4503, you're live.
Hi. This question is for Deborah. I wanted to know what happened in your life that made you want to resort to drugs. I mean, your dad is Mr. King, and I believe you had everything. So, what made you resort to drugs?
Well, you know, to be honest, it was trying to save someone else. It was a boyfriend saying, what was so great about this drug that was more important than me? So what started as a social experiment, if you will, to find out how to save him, I ended up destroying myself because I put my feelings for him above my feelings for myself. I will never in life be second to anything or anyone again because I deserve better. And, you know, you can have or think you have everything in the world, but if you don't have that self-love, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter that my dad was Don King and I could go here or go there because they weren't easy give you everything parents. Let's make that perfectly clear. But they gave me the strength to know that if I was determined to do something, I could reach any goal I set. So the goal I set was for me to love me and be the best I can. So I got on my knees and did not throw up one hand. I threw up two and said, I surrender. I give. This is something that is greater than me. You know, an addiction is undefeated. It doesn't care what color you are, what socioeconomic status you have, what religion you are, what culture you are, what educational level you are, or what age you are. It wins. And when we can recognize that, you know that you better strap up and build your army to go into battle. You know, because we might have lost the battle, but if we fight long enough, we can win the war. So I always say now that I am high, happily in God's hands, and life is the new cool.
I like that.
I like that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in, caller.
Thank you.
We're about out of time, Deborah. So what are some final remarks you would have, and if you would also give out your information once again and how individuals can connect with you?
Well, my final thought would be for everybody to love themselves. Do that mirror challenge every day. When you wake up and are given another opportunity for life that day, give yourself a hug. Pat yourself on the back. Tell yourself you love you more than anything so that you can be the best empowered person you can be. And you can reach me on all social medias at I Am Deborah King, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can look at my website, www.limitlesslife.com. And you can always send a note to Valerie and Cheryl.
Thank you so much. This has been an awesome show tonight, and I thank you so much for taking my invitation because here at Hot Topics from the Soul, we are reaching hearts and empowering lives. And I thank my listening audience for always tuning in, always supporting, and always praying for Shirley and I and for all our guests we have on the show. And I invite you also to connect with Deborah. You may not have a situation going on, but you may have a family member or loved one that is in need of some good advice, sound advice from someone who knows. You know, everybody can talk about it, but when you have someone that has walked in that shoe, they know how to address it in dual manners. So I invite you to visit her website and forward it to a friend. And this show has been a blessing. Go to the website and download it and share it with someone because there are people that are going through depression.
There are people that have addictions that you know nothing about. You know, it doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be alcohol, but it could be different addictions, you know, subtle addictions that, you know, that throw somebody off, but they have these addictions. And you know, we're all ex-something, liars, stealers, fornicators. We're all ex-something. But recovering from that, looking in the mirror and discovering a new you, looking in the mirror and celebrating who you are and say, that's who I was yesterday, but that's not who I am today, and that's not who I'm going to be tomorrow. Who I am tomorrow, I'm a queen, and I'm going to walk with my head high. Who I am tomorrow is a king. I was called to do great, mighty, and wonderful things. So keep that focus, keep that thought that you're better. You're better than whatever somebody's opinion of you says, because some people will say that you're great, and then when they turn their back, they'll say, oh, she's not all that or he's not all that. But you have to validate yourself and set your own bar. Don't worry about what somebody else says, but set your own bar. Validate you. Shirley, what's your website so individuals can connect with you as well?
They can go to my website. It's Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, mcarter.com, or againstalloddsfoundation.com, all spelled out, againstalloddsfoundation.com. And I'm on Facebook, Shirley M. Carter. So you can reach out and connect with me there.
And also, I want to invite you to my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com, and also save the date, September 16th. I have Miss Deborah King. She's going to be one of our speakers at Soul Retreat 2017. Yes, save the date. Mark it on your calendar. Stay connected with me on fromthesoulofawoman.com, or you can go on my Facebook, Twitter, and also tune in to Hot Topics from the Soul, and you'll be getting more information regarding that. And, Deborah, I want to thank you once again for tuning in and being our special guest tonight. And I know that you've been a blessing to a lot of people, and I know that they're going to replay this show because you've said some powerful things that I know that will set some individuals free, because together we're reaching hearts and empowering lives. Continue to tune into us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Thank you so much. Good night, and God bless.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.